of the 2022 college football season. This is the We Hate Your Team podcast. I'm Kelly Ford, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Zach King. Kinger, how are we doing this week?
You know how I'm doing, brother. We're doing great. You said it. Crazy. We're almost halfway through the college football season now. Week 6, full-on conference schedule, getting into the depths of it here. Some great matchups this weekend, including the big one between OU and Texas. Look forward to debating some games with you this week.
Kinger, you said it. We are in week 6. I mean, some teams have already played 6 games if they played in week 0 and have not had their bye yet. Some teams are halfway through the regular season. Many more teams will be that after this season. We need to enjoy every single college football Saturday that we have to the fullest. I am very much looking forward to this weekend. We've got some great rivalry games, great conference games, a couple neutral site games, which are always interesting to talk about. So we're going to dive into all of those. But first, I'm very excited to welcome to the show this week a very special guest, Blinken Riley. Blinken is one of the co-hosts of the At Statistically Speaking podcast, which, as our listeners know, without Blinken and Kyle asking me to join Statistically Speaking back in 2021, it is highly unlikely that we would have the We Hate Your Team podcast in existence today. So eternally grateful to Blinken. Blinken, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. We're so happy we got to have you on last year, and we've already had you again this year. And, you know, it's been great, and it's nice to hear that, you know, something we're doing caused somebody else to go out and do their own thing. I think you can never have enough college football content. So, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Blinken. This is long overdue. And as we were chatting about before the show, not only did my appearances now, as you said, on Statistically Speaking kind of jumpstart this, we also stole the format, basically, of Statistically Speaking. So for any of our listeners who haven't listened to Statistically Speaking, if you enjoy the format of this show, you really need to go check out Kyle and Blinken's show, Statistically Speaking. Blinken, tell us a little bit more. Obviously, King and I know a lot about you, about your work in the college football space, kind of what you're all about. But share with our listeners who may not know you as well. First, where can they find you on Twitter? Because you're an amazing follow, especially if you're a fan of a certain team. And then also just share with everybody, what do you do? What's your work in the college football space? And just the floor is yours, man. Take it away.
So, yeah, you can find me at BlinkenRiley.com or at – well, you can find me there too, but at BlinkenRiley. On Twitter. What I do is I try to find those stats that kind of make you scratch your head, right? Like, I got into this, probably, I guess, 5 years now, 5 years ago now. I followed a lot of sports people, and I'm also I'm a huge baseball fan. And so I followed a lot of people like Ace of MLB Stats and, you know, some of these other people who are always putting these, like, you know, kind of, this hasn't happened since, you know, Tungsten Arm O'Doyle in, like, you know, 1890 or whatever, right? Like, I love those kind of taking kind of a mundane stat and putting it in a way that makes you rethink the context of it. And it kind of illuminates it in a different way. And so that's what I do on Twitter. And that's what I try to find, is those kind of little tidbits and try to put them in a way that sometimes is like funny, you know, like I'll do like Bedlam Fact Friday. Right. And, you know, like I think I did one where if in 1945, if a Oklahoma State fan had started walking from Stillwater down to the equator and then around the earth, I think it was like 20 times, and then back to Stillwater, they still would have had to wait 5 years for another Oklahoma State Bedlam win. Like, it's stuff like that that just kind of like highlight a stat you've already heard a million times, right? But kind of put it in a different way and make you think about it a different way. So, on our podcast, on Statistically Speaking, you know, I, for my like actual job, I do data analytics and stuff like that. But I typically don't do that in the college football space. But our podcast has really let us bring in a lot of people who do that and kind of, you know, use my following and Kyle's following to kind of introduce people to, you know, I'm sure everybody's heard of Bill Connolly. Everybody knows ESPN's, you know, FPI. But there's so many people doing, you know, similar but different things across college football. And it's been nice to kind of bring all those people on and kind of get them, you know, exposure and get the people that listen to us exposed to what they're doing and, you know, hopefully get more people into, you know, the stats and analytics of college football, because like I said, already, you know, can never have enough college football content. So.
Well, Kinger and I absolutely agree with that. And again, as we talked about earlier, Blinken, eternally grateful for what you and Kyle do, bringing on amazing guests to Statistically Speaking. Kinger, very much like Kyle, earlier this year we had him on, and he had his Texas facts, his Aggie facts. Like him, dislike him, whatever, he's spitting the truth, and he's putting a Texas spin on it. Now we've got Blinken on, spitting the truth. So like it, dislike it, whatever, you can't argue. A fact's a fact. I love the Equator one, Blinken. That's amazing. Kinger, I'm sure you have lots to say here to Blinken.
Yeah, I got two quick thoughts. Number one, Blinken, I saw today you posted on Twitter retweeting your college football win probability chart gear that you are currently put up for sale for last year in that epic comeback. Texas having, what was it, a 98 or 99% win percentage at one point?
Yeah,
what was it?
At one point it had gotten to, I think, 98.6 win percentage. Yep. Likelihood that Texas would win that game. And yes, at the end, I took that data straight from, as soon as I could, I took that data straight from collegefootballdata.com. And I slapped it in a chart in Excel, took a screenshot of it, and started selling it.
Amazing, man. That is a fantastic idea. Fantastic idea.
Yeah, I have that mug at work on my desk right now, and it's one of my favorite things.
That's amazing. So, and then the second thing, I guess it's a combination of two things. What's your Twitter profile picture? I have talked about this with other people. Who is that? What is that?
So the name obviously was a play on Lincoln Riley, right? So in OU lore, OU history, right, we have the four big coaches. Bud, well, first Benny, Bud, Barry, and Bob. So we, you know, as soon as Lincoln Riley came on the scene, we were like, I was like, okay, well, you know, he doesn't have a B in his name, but I'm going to force it, right? And so I made a play, a pun on this character, Blinken. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Robin Hood Men in Tights, but
I have not.
But it's
oh, so that's where that's from.
It's an old Mel Brooks movie. It's an old Mel Brooks movie, like a spoof movie on the old Robin Hood tale. And Blinken is Robin Hood's like blind, like sidekick. And so that is who my picture is on Twitter. It is a picture of this. Yeah. This blind character in an obscure 90s movie.
Okay. Well, thank you for putting some context into that. That's amazing, man. Very creative on your part to put all that together. Always loved the Twitter name. And now that I have some better understanding, I might need to go check out Robin Hood Men in Tights just so I can fully understand the joke. But you and Kyle, you guys have been doing Statistically Speaking for a couple years now. When did you first kind of get into the industry? Obviously, you've probably been an Oklahoma college football fan your whole life. When did you decide this was something you wanted to take maybe a little bit more seriously?
So, like I said, I created this little kind of silly Twitter profile like 5 years ago. It started to get kind of a following with, you know, the stats I would put out, this and that, you know. Bedlam week is always a big one. Texas week is always a big one. I started doing the Bedlam Fact Friday and the Texas Fact Tuesday. And it just grew and grew. And, you know, much like you all, somebody had asked me to be on a podcast. And, you know, and so I did one. I did another one. At first, it's a little, you know, maybe a little awkward. Maybe it's a little, you're not used to doing something like this, right? This is not something that comes natural to a lot of people. But, you know, I was having fun. I got to, you know, share some stats, you know.
We know where this goes.
Have some fun. And, you know, eventually I'd been, you know, on this and that podcast, wherever. I just was like, hey, let's, you know, Kyle's got a big following now. Let's, you know, have this OU Texas combined kind of, you know, statistics based podcast, and see where it goes. And, you know, it's been awesome. The podcast has been awesome. The last couple of seasons I've done a regular weekly spot on the, Fox affiliate air in Oklahoma City. So that's been really fun. I've gotten to meet so many people, so many writers, like national writers, you know, obviously all the beat writers around Norman. And, you know, I've gotten to make friends, be on the radio. It's just kind of a crazy thing that just something that I never thought I would ever get into, right? Like, it's not something you foresee, especially coming out of something that I created one day when I was like bored at work. Right. Like, and you know, but it's been a ride, and yeah, I'm thankful for it. Cause like I said, I have a blast with it. So.
That is so cool, Blinken. And I hear you. Every single thing you said, I personally can relate to. I know King can too, in terms of us getting this podcast up and running. I've been fortunate enough to have a couple of these radio hits. Not a weekly yet, like you. I mean, I'm aiming for that, right? I'm angling for that somewhere, someday. But it's addicting. It's like a high. For those of us who really love college football, like the three of us do, like our listeners do, anytime we can talk about it, anytime you can attack it from a different angle, anytime you can bring in different perspectives, it just makes your blood boil. It gets you going, right? So I love hearing that. That's incredible. I had a few things I wanted to ask you there, Blinken, based on what you said. One is, so you have this long history of B's, that your coach's name start with B's, the history tradition of Oklahoma. Well, you got Brent in there now. Granted, he's not like he's not a Bud, he's not a Bob, but like Brent, so you got a B, so no need to change that name now that Riley's out the door. So that's got to be a good feeling. And then the question that I had for you, Blinken, so we had Kyle on earlier, as you know, and he's famous for having his Aggie Fact Thursdays, right? But you have Texas Fact Tuesdays. You have Bedlam Fact Fridays. I got to ask, because I actually don't know, who started that first? Did Kyle start doing Aggie Facts on Thursday first, or were you doing Bedlam Texas on Friday, Tuesday first? Who was the original of these blank facts days?
So originally, it was me. I had done the Bedlam Fact Friday and the Texas Fact Tuesday. And in fact, I actually started Aggie Fact Thursday.
What?
I did. But
Is Kyle going to contend this? Kyle. Is Kyle going to contend this, Blinken, or will he give you the
He'll
honors
give me
there?
The proper, you know, the credit. But the thing is, like,
okay,
I started it. He took it and just absolutely grew it into something way beyond what I was doing. Right? It's like Nine Inch Nails wrote "Hurt." But that's a Johnny Cash song, right? Like,
right. Like great
analogy. This is the kind
there.
Of situation we're doing here. So, yes, technically I started Aggie Fact Thursday, but like I said, he took it to a whole new level.
I ran with it, definitely. Added a whole different perspective on that. Took it, what is it, two books now? Yeah. Three books? Something like that. Two or three books,
now.
Yeah.
Two volumes, yeah, I'm wild. Sure there's a third coming at some point. But that is interesting and good to know who the OG is of Aggie Fact Thursdays. Blinken, that is awesome. And it's so cool to see all the things you're doing and to hear about the start, right? You said you were bored at work one day and you started this account. You started having fun. Now you've got 40,000+ followers. You've got a podcast. You're on a weekly radio hit. It's incredible, man. That is so cool. And I know King and I, we strive to have things like that. I'm sure some of our listeners do as well. So you are an example and someone who we are so happy to have on and someone we cannot wait to beat this week in the Pick'em week, and if I'm being honest, right?
Like, oh, man.
This is where it is.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
You guys ready to hop into it?
Let's do it. Kelly's had this one circled for blinking for a while, so I'm glad we are finally at the week.
I have. We've been, as we mapped out our guests for the year, I mean, we've mapped it almost all the way out to the end in the preseason, and so wanted to make sure we had you and Kyle on this year because you deserve to be. We want to highlight you guys for all you've done to help start We Hate Your Team, whether you knew it or not. But we had Kyle on before the Alabama game, and now for Texas, and now we have you on before the Red River Shootout. And Blinken, before we get into the picks, I do just want to say one more thing. We have a We Hate Your Team Pick'em competition on ESPN. I know Statistically Speaking has a Pick'em competition as well. I jumped in there right when you guys started it. I'm looking at it, Blinken. I'm up 5 points on you right now.
You're up 5 points. Yeah, I saw that. I think the same record, but I think you've just edged me out on points.
You're right, and there's someone named Rick James. I don't know Rick James. He is crushing all of us.
Yeah, he's a hell of a picker, I guess.
He certainly is. Rick James is getting it done. So if you're in the We Hate Your Team podcast pick-up, make sure you hop in the Statistically Speaking one. You can find it on the We Hate Your Team, or excuse me, on the ESPN app, just by searching Statistically Speaking in the ESPN pick-up group. So make sure you check that out. Hop in Kyle and Blinken's as well. All right, guys, let's get to it. Blinken, we wouldn't have it any other way. We're starting with the Red River Shootout. It is not the Red River Rivalry. It is not the Red River whatever you want showdown. It is the Red River Shootout, at least in my opinion. Curious to hear your take on that, Blinken. This game is in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl, Texas State Fair. They do it there every single year. I hope that is a tradition that will continue as both teams transition into the SEC. I am usually pretty adamantly against neutral site games. However, there are a very select few that I make exceptions for. This is one that I make an exception for. I love that it's in the Cotton Bowl every single year. Kinger, what's the spread on this one? What's Vegas think of the over-under? And then Blinken, we're going to kick it to you. You're going to start us off. You're the OU expert, and this is a game that you've got to be super excited about.
I got to get the over-under line on this, but Texas is a 7-point favorite.
All right, Blinken, what do you think?
All right, so so I'm obviously going to pick Oklahoma. Here's the thing, though. This is one of those games where historically, the more I know or I think I know about this game going in, the more I'm proven that this game is just totally bonkers, right? It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter who the team is, what people are ranked, what the records are. It doesn't matter. Something crazy is going to happen. It's going to go a way no one predicted. You know, just like, I mean, last year is Exhibit A in the who would have thought kind of thing. But, you know, Oklahoma is a kind of on an especially unprecedented grounds. I don't know if you saw, but this is only the third time that Oklahoma has won their first three games of the season and lost their next two. It happened this year in 1999 and in 1916.
That was 1999, Blinken, was the last time OU lost two back-to-back regular season games in a row, correct? Just in general?
We had one in 2014, possibly. No, not 2014. Okay. Yeah, it might have been. I know Bob Stoops had a very long record of no consecutive losses, and I want to say he lost it. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was the bowl game with Clemson, where it was the two consecutive losses and not regular season. So yeah,
I threw that fact out last week on the pod. I wanted to double check it with the OU expert here, make sure I'm just not throwing out BS for everybody.
Yeah, no,
I
think you're right. Yeah, but yeah, 1999 and 1916. That only other times that Oklahoma has started three wins and two losses. Also, after last game, I mean, we are emotionally beat up, I'm sure, but also by the end of that TCU game, Oklahoma had lost their starting quarterback, first and second string running backs, a starting wide receiver, their starting right tackle, both starting safeties, and their top two edge rushers, a defensive end and an outside linebacker. I mean, I don't know who all's coming back for this game. You know, it's early in the week, and I haven't heard, you know, updates on, you know, who's coming back. Obviously, Dylan Gabriel is a huge one, but I don't know. And so this is like more of I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. And so, you know, I have no idea. It shows that I have no idea when I that I have no idea what's going to happen in this game when I think I do. And I think especially when I absolutely admit that I have no idea what's going to happen in this game, I think we're in for a crazy one. So I'm going to pick Oklahoma, and I am going to put one confidence point on it.
Oklahoma for one. You got it, Blinken. Kinger, what do you think? It's going to be tough to follow up that knowledge drop there by Blinken. Texas, Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl.
I don't want to do this to our guy Blinken. And this is how I know it's probably just going to come back and bite me, is because I'm so confident in Texas this week, and I've been wrong on Oklahoma the last 2 weeks. I'm just not going to let them burn me again. And Blinken is absolutely right. This is a rivalry game. This is probably not going to go the way that I think it is, but in my mind, this is a double-digit win for Texas, right? Quinn Ewers coming back. Blinken just talked about all the injuries. No Dylan Gabriel. I really don't know what kind of depth Oklahoma has at QB behind Gabriel there. Defense, though, it's just been a mess. With Ewers coming back on Texas, you got to get OU's got to find a way to get some sort of pass rush going, get some sort of pressure on the quarterback. They've really been vulnerable in the secondary as well, and I think it starts with that D-line up front. We thought maybe this year OU wouldn't be quite as deep as last year. I think that's proven to be the case up until this point this season. Kyle posted a fact on Twitter, our buddy Kyle Umlang, that Texas is 5-1 or 5-2 when they've rushed for over 100 yards against Oklahoma since 2000. I think that's a very likely case again this week, and I think Texas has enough on the offensive side of the ball. I'm rooting for Oklahoma to keep it a good game. I would like it to be. I'm not laying off the betting aspect of it, but I'm taking Texas, and I'm taking them with 7 confidence points.
All right, so I need to break the tie here. Guys, I had Oklahoma in the preseason. I had Oklahoma as the favorite in the Big 12. I had them favored in this game. That line has come down and down and down each week, seemingly. I know Texas has 2 losses here. Oklahoma does as well. Texas, the far superior team by my numbers, predictably speaking. I've got Texas the number 8 team in the country. Oklahoma number 18, down significantly this week after what was a bad loss to TCU, as Blinken talked about there. It is a rivalry game. Anything can happen. I do expect an Oklahoma bounce back, but in the end, I think Texas is too much. Kinger said the spread's -7. I like Texas by 4.5 points. It's a 63% win probability, so I'm taking the Longhorns, and I'm taking them for 5 confidence points. So to recap this one, Kinger and I both on Texas, Kinger for 7, me for 5, and Blinken taking his Oklahoma Sooners for 1 confidence point. Blinken, we don't usually start with the same person going first twice in a row, but we're going to keep it in the Big 12 here, and since you're a Big 12 expert, at least for the time being, we're gonna come right back to you here. We've got TCU, a team that you're familiar with here, going on the road to play a Kansas team who seems to have Kyle's Texas Longhorns number these past couple years. We made sure to give him crap for that when he was on. TCU at Kansas. King, what's Vegas think game day is going to be there?
TCU is -7, over under 67.5.
All right, Blinken, what do you make of this one? TCU -7 at Kansas.
I love Kansas. I think Kansas is fun. I think they're a good football team. They can definitely run the ball. I mean, they've got, you know, Jalen Daniels can run. And then they have 3 running backs that have all proven at some point this season that they can run the ball. I don't know what it is about Oklahoma, but, you know, I was I don't know if you follow Stats of War, Parker on Twitter. We specifically asked him last week on the podcast, or I specifically asked him. I said, "Is Max Duggan the greatest quarterback of all time?" He assured me that he was not, and I think he just lied to me.
He might have just lied to you, Blinken.
So I don't know what got into Adrian Martinez and Max Duggan in the consecutive weeks. I don't know what the common factor there was. You know, if somebody knows, you know, point that out to me. But I think going on the road, I think Lawrence is going to be rocking, and I think Kansas wins this one. And I am going to put a whole 3 confidence points on it.
Rock, Chalk, Jayhawk, Blinken taking the Jayhawks for 3 confidence points. Yes, Blinken, we absolutely know Parker Fleming Stats of War. He was our first ever guest on the We Hit Your Team podcast in the middle of last season. Our second ever episode, we had Parker on. So,
oh, fantastic, yeah.
Very familiar with Parker. We love his work. He's absolutely taken off doing great things with the BetUS show as well. So for me, Blinken, this is going to be 2 games in a row. I'm going against you. And again, I'm just following my numbers here. Kansas is a great story. They are by far the story of this year. They are, by all of my numbers, the most improved team in terms of their preseason K-Ford rating versus their current. They have improved more. They have increased their rating more than any other team in FBS college football. They are right now, and I'm going to post about, or I posted about this earlier this week on Tuesday on Twitter, they have exceeded their expectation, their win-loss expectation, by 2.9 games already. So at this stage in the season, my numbers expected Kansas to have about 2.1 wins, 2 and 3. And they now are sitting at 5-0. So they are nearly 3 games above where I expected them to be, which is best in the country by an entire game. They are number 5 in my most deserving rankings. Like, this is a fun story, but I say it every time we talk about Kansas, I don't expect them to win this week. And they always prove me wrong, at least to this point. I do expect TCU to get it done. I've got TCU as the number 13 team in the country, number 4 in my most deserving ranking. So this is a top 5 most deserving game showdown here in Lawrence. Kansas number 51 in the power rating. So while they are the most improved team, they are still only number 51. My numbers are right in line with Vegas. I like TCU by 7 points in this game. It's a 70% win probability. I do expect TCU to get it done on the road. We'll see. If Kansas can make me look dumb again, more power to them. But I'm taking TCU, and I'm taking them for 8 confidence points. Kinger, we need you to break the tie.
Big one there for you, Kelly. I think TCU is good. I didn't know for sure, but after that thrashing they put on Oklahoma, I do think they're a legit team. Definitely top 25. Kelly, you said 13 in your numbers. This is the first time in the AP poll for TCU in 4 years. And I think they got a good opportunity this week to keep that offense rolling. We know they can run the football. Kansas definitely vulnerable against the run. Iowa State, though, their opponent last week, absolutely horrible running the football. Only 16 yards on the ground last week versus that Kansas defense. Very, very shocking how bad Iowa State there was again. But credit to Kansas, they played well. Ultimately, I just think this is a different team. This is a different offensive opponent with much more ability on the offensive side. Hunter Decker struggled turning the ball over a little bit. This is a big game. Solo leader here, depending on the outcome of the K-State-Iowa State game. If Iowa State beats Kansas State, the winner of this game is going to be solo first place in the Big 12 after Week 5, which is an absolutely wild thought. I think Kansas has been electric. They're maybe the best story in college football thus far this season with how they have overexceeded expectations. I said the train was coming off the tracks last week. I was wrong. The train is coming off the tracks this week. Give me TCU for 4.
All right, so to recap this game, similar to our first game, Kinger and I both on TCU. I'm taking the Horned Frogs for 8, Kinger for 4, and Blinken is on Kansas for 3. Kinger, let's start with you on this one. We're going to bring it over to the SEC. It's a big game. Tennessee going on the road to Death Valley to take on LSU. Kinger, what's Vegas think about this one? And then you go ahead and take it first.
Yeah, Tennessee's a 2.5-point favorite on the road, over under 62.5. And LSU, they've just been an interesting story again this year. They looked horrible to start the game last week versus what I don't think is a very good Auburn team. I will say, guys, one of my favorite shots is the LSU Brian Kelly in general. Just the shots of Brian Kelly on the sideline, his facial expressions, how mad he looks, how confused he looks. He looks like he's always ready to just chew somebody out. I get very good entertainment looking or seeing some of those shots that come from that. But Tennessee's coming off the bye here. Both these teams 2-0 in the SEC. LSU defense is solid. They've got a high-powered Tennessee offense coming to town here. Obviously, I expect Tennessee to be able to put up some points here. And I think the key is I'm interested to see how Jalen Daniels does here for this LSU offense. Tennessee has been very good against the run, and they don't allow a lot of explosive run plays. LSU wants to be able to run the ball. Daniels is a super efficient quarterback. He's taking care of the ball a little bit better than he did at Arizona State last year, but he's not putting up wowing numbers. They have to have that run-pass mix to be successful. I think there is an opening here for Daniels to have a big game. They have to be willing to throw the ball downfield. LSU's got a very talented wide receiver core. Tennessee's secondary has been a little bit shaky. I saw another couple injuries in the secondary this week. ultimately, I think LSU keeps it close, but I'm going with my guy, Hendon Hooker. I'm a huge fan of him. I love watching that Heupel and that Tennessee offense. I think they find a way to get it done, but it's a very close game. But I'm taking Tennessee for 5 confidence points.
I agree with a lot of what you just said. To me, guys, this is probably the highest quality game of the entire slate this weekend. Like, I'm really excited about this one. I've been high on Tennessee all year. The AP's kind of caught up to me. Other power ratings have definitely caught up to me in terms of my view of Tennessee. I've got Tennessee as the number 7 team in the country, predictably speaking. LSU, though, making a really big jump this week. They're all the way up to number 11 for me, guys. So this is an LSU team that I think has gotten significantly better as the season's gone on. They are at home, which is a crazy environment there in Death Valley, as we know. My numbers see this game. I was really confident in Tennessee. We picked them a couple weeks ago, King. I think I had them as my 10-pointer. My numbers see this as a 50-50 toss-up. I've got this as a straight 50% win probability both ways. My numbers lean just on a razor's edge. They lean to Tennessee. So I'm going to take Tennessee in what is truly a pick-em game for me. So I'm taking Tennessee. I'm taking them for 1 confidence point. But this might be the game, guys, that I'm most excited to watch because I think both of these teams are just super high quality. And I think if it's not going to be a close game, if one team's going to blow out the other, I think it's going to be Tennessee that does some damage and blows out LSU. That offense for Tennessee, as Kinger said, just so darn good. Blinken, Tennessee at LSU. You going with us with Tennessee? You taking the Tigers?
Tennessee can play football. They can move the ball. They can score. I think this home field advantage would be a lot more if this was a 7 p.m. kickoff as opposed to 11 a.m. Central Time, you know. I think that's going to put a damper on some of the typical kind of atmosphere that is there in Death Valley. So I think Tennessee is too good. They're going to score points and LSU's not going to be able to keep up. So I'm going to take Tennessee for 9 confidence points.
Ooh, all right. Big number there for Blinken. So to recap this one, we are all taking the Volunteers. Blinken the most confident for 9. I'm right in the middle with 5. And Kinger, least confident, taking the Volunteers for 1 point. This next game, guys, is out.
No. I said Tennessee for 5 confidence points, Kelly. Sorry if you misheard me there.
I misspoke, King. You're exactly right. Blinken, most confident in 9. Kinger, right in the middle at 5. I am the least confident at 1. Misread my own note there, Kinger. Thank you for the clarification. So we're all taking Tennessee for various points. This next game, we're moving out to the Pac-12. I'll take this one first, King. We've got Utah going on the road to UCLA. This is an intriguing matchup. What's Vegas think about it, King?
Utah's a 4.5-point favorite, over under 64.5.
Utah by 4.5. So my numbers, this doesn't surprise me. My numbers like Utah by more than that. My numbers like Utah in this game by 9. I got Utah as the number 5 power rated team, guys. Right now, there's three teams in the top tier of college football. It has been since the summer. It's Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia. We can argue about the order as the season's gone on. Those have been clearly the top 3 teams. Michigan, by my numbers, has been in kind of a tier 1B by themselves all year at number 4. They've kind of just hung out in that area. But number 5 and below, it's a hodgepodge. This week, I've got Utah there. Last week, it was Clemson. So I think this Utah team is really, really good. UCLA, a team that I'm not surprised, is sitting here undefeated. We said the schedule in the preseason, we said the schedule sets up really nicely for this team. But predictively speaking, I've got UCLA as only the number 36 best team in the country. So still a good team, but they're not on the same level as Utah. I like Utah by 9 in this game. It's a 74% win probability. So I'm pretty confident in this one. I think Utah goes on the road. They're not going to get caught looking ahead, I don't think. Utah is a sound fundamental program. They don't overlook teams most times. I'm taking Utah in this game. I'm taking them for 9 confidence points. Blinken?
I'm actually going to take UCLA in this one. I think UCLA is a really good team. My guy, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he's 104 of 140 on the season. Already 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns, not to count his over 200 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns on the ground, including a 68-yard rush. I mean, this guy can play. I think that he's going to have a big game. I think UCLA is going to take this one, and I will put 6 confidence points on him.
Kinger, we need you to break the tie, my man.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one, I think, for Utah here. But ultimately, I think they're the better team. And UCLA, they're trying to play spoiler again. Try to knock off another top Pac-12 team in a game in which they dominated last weekend. You said Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Zach Charbonnet. They got some players in the offensive side of the ball. And I think this Utah defense, not quite as good as it was last year. A little bit weaker up front, not quite as good against the run. I expect UCLA to try and pound the rock here. And UCLA, this is a team, you know, I said I felt good about them. And it hasn't always been pretty for UCLA this season. There's been some negative publicity around them. A lot of people making fun of their fan turnout and kind of the situation out in Southern California. But they are 5-0, and I absolutely think they're a dark horse here. But ultimately, I think that Utah offense, Tavion Thomas, that running game, I don't think UCLA has the bodies up front to contain them. I think Cam Rising is continuing to play solid football. Utah is moving in a good direction. So I'm taking Utah on the road. I don't necessarily feel great about 6 confidence points, but this is where we ended up. So give me the Utes.
All right. So fourth game in a row, Kinger. We're on the same page. Third time we've gone against Lincoln here. To recap it, Kinger and I both on the Utes. I'm taking them for 9. Kinger for 6. Lincoln taking the UCLA Bruins for 6. Kinger, I know I've talked about, and we've talked about, how we like to disagree, think it makes a better conversation. I actually had 2 separate people DM me saying, hey, I actually like when you guys agree on the podcast. So for those 2, you're liking this episode so far, Kinger and I 4 for 4. They say it makes them feel better about their picks as they're betting, King. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, we'll take that. We'll take that.
All right, this next game, Blinken, let's start with you. We haven't started with you in a while. We're going down to the ACC. We've got North Carolina going on the road to take on Miami. Kinger, what's Vegas think about this? And then Blinken, we'll throw it to you.
Miami is -4, over under 66.
So Miami has looked pretty bad at times. I think that coupled with some possible injuries on the offensive side of the ball, I think it's going to be trouble for Miami. North Carolina is moving the ball at a big clip, 45 points a game, over 500 yards a game of offense. I think in the end, with the offensive struggles that Miami has maybe had, and especially with the injuries, I think they're just probably not going to be able to keep up. They're just not going to be able to score enough points to get one over on North Carolina. So I'll take North Carolina for 8 confidence points.
Ooh, big one. Blinken, love it.
That is a big one. Kinger, go ahead.
Yeah, Miami might be – this season has the potential to turn ugly here pretty quick. We know how bad that loss to Middle Tennessee was. Now I think they're talking about QB controversy. Are they going to bench Tyler Van Dyke? I think Cristobal came out and said that they're rolling with him for the foreseeable future, but there's a lot of commotion going on within that program right now. And if there is a week for that offense to kind of find itself and get some momentum, it would be versus this North Carolina defense, who give up a ton of chunk plays, almost getting killed both on the ground, in the air, mainly on the ground, but they are not sound on the defensive end. And so Miami has had plenty of struggles on the offensive side. I think there is the opportunity there for them to have some improvements on this week, right? And you said NC offense, It's a wagon. They're one of the 2 or 3 most explosive in the ACC. Miami defense has had its struggles, but they have been pretty good at limiting those explosive plays. We'll see what they can do this week. They've been pretty good on third down this year. So I think that Miami defense is going to give Drake May a little bit of a fits, but I'm in agreeance with you, Blinken. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't think Miami offense is going – they've got too many unknowns, too many variables with injuries, just how the state of everybody's mind is in that program. I think North Carolina does find a way to get done on the road. So give me the Heels for 1.
This is a game I really don't know what to make of it, guys. That UNC offense really good. The last time we saw Miami, they were getting run out of their own building by Middle Tennessee. So I don't know. I'm sticking with my numbers here. I don't love this pick. I've got Miami as the number 37 team in the country, predictably speaking. That's down significantly from a couple weeks ago prior to that Middle Tennessee State game. North Carolina is only number 42, though. North Carolina's a team that as they were winning, they weren't doing it in a very impressive manner. They weren't doing it up to the efficiency level that my model expected. So while they were rising in my most deserving, they were ranking in my power ratings. And as we're picking games, I'm looking at my power ratings. So you could argue, does Miami really have 2.5 points worth of home field? Probably not, but that's what my model uses, just kind of across the board. That's an improvement one day that I can get in and modify the home field advantage for each individual venue based on what it actually is. But using that home field advantage, Miami is a slightly better team by my numbers. I'm kind of in line with Vegas. I like Miami by 3.5. Vegas, Kingside Vegas, like by 4. So I'm taking Miami. It's a 60% win probability. That's 4 confidence points this week. I don't love this pick, but I'm the only one on them, so maybe I can sneak out a couple points here. I don't love it, though. I don't know what else to say. So to recap this one, North Carolina is the pick for Blinkett and Kinger. Blinkett taking them for 8. Kinger using his 1-pointer. I am on the Miami Hurricanes for 4. This next game, guys, I'll be honest, I'm not exactly sure why it's in the ESPN Pick'em. King, we'll start with you. We've got Western Kentucky going on the road to UTSA. I know these are big-time programs in Conference USA, but is it one of the best games of the week? I don't know. Kinger, what do you think? What's Vegas think first?
Yeah, I don't. I'm with you, Kelly. I mean,
I thought it was a mistake.
UTSA is a 6.5.
I thought it was a mistake.
UTSA is a 6.5 point favorite at home. Over under 70. I mean, I'll just say, if you like watching offense, you like watching good quarterback play, you're gonna get that in this football game. I mean, you got Frank Harris, who is the best quarterback in Conference USA, completing 68% of his passes, 12 touchdowns on the year. This is UTSA is one of the best passing teams in the country. I believe they're rated currently 3rd or 4th. They can move the ball. And on the same thing, Western Kentucky, Austin Reed, they were the highest scoring team in Conference USA through 4 weeks. He's been a great replacement for Bailey Zappi, who was just slinging it for the Patriots last Sunday. Western Kentucky, again, can put up some points. And the UTSA defense, not quite as good this year. They're 116th overall. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored on both sides. Western Kentucky isn't necessarily strong on the defensive side either. So I'm taking the home team. I'm taking Frank Harris, the veteran. I believe in them. I believe in him specifically to get it done at home this week. So I'm taking UTSA with 9 confidence points.
Wow. Okay, Kinger. I mean, I don't disagree with what you said there. And I'm certainly not trying to throw shade at the G5, but it just doesn't seem like one of the biggest games of the week. And so I just was a little surprised to see it here. Again, big in Conference USA for sure. I don't have a lot to add. My numbers like UTSA in this game because they're at home. I've got Western Kentucky number 60 in the country, UTSA number 69. But again, that 2.5 home field advantage coming into play. It's a 51% win probability for UTSA. I like them by 0.5 point in this game. So it truly is a pick 'em for me. Give me UTSA and give them to me for 2 confidence points. Blinken, you with us or are you riding with the Hilltoppers?
I'm going with the Hilltoppers. Okay. This line is, what did you say, 6.5 for UTSA?
Yeah.
I think that's too much. The average on Prediction Tracker has this at less than a 2-point spread. So I think this is going to be a close one, and I think this one might get weird, and definitely some points are going to be scored. I'll take Western Kentucky in a shootout.
How many, Blake, and how many confidence points do you say?
2 points. 2 points.
2 points. Right on. I like the mention of Prediction Tracker there, Blink. And for those that don't know, the Prediction Tracker, a great website that helps keep track of all these different power rating systems that are out there. Looks at against the spread record. It looks against your absolute error. It looks against your mean average. I mean, it looks at all sorts of different things, as well as game predictions. So good shout out there for the Prediction Tracker. You're up my alley with that one, Blinken. So to recap, it's becoming old hat. Kinger and I on the same side here. King taking UTSA for 9. I am much less confident taking the Roadrunners for 2. Blinken on the other side of the fence taking Western Kentucky 4-2. Kinger, we talked about this last week with Michael, our guest. Michael seemed to go against us on a lot of these picks. Blinken's doing the same thing. Blinken, we'll tell you what we told Michael. You're either going to blow us out of the water this week, or we're going to leave you in the dust, just depending on how these games fall. Most likely it'll be somewhere in the middle, as undoubtedly we'll each get some right, because that's the way these things go. Blinken, we've got one more Big 12 game to talk about on this week's episode. We're getting to it right now. So let's start with you here. We've got Kansas State going on the road to Iowa State. Again, Kinger talked about earlier where if Iowa State wins, that means the winner of TCU and Kansas alone atop the Big 12 standing. So, Kinger, what's Vegas think about Kansas State at Iowa State? And then we'll kick it to Blinken to give the Big 12 breakdown.
K-State -2, over under 46.5.
So, yeah, Farmageddon. This is a big one for the yokels up north of us here in Kansas and Iowa State, right? I don't know. So I think Kansas State has done a really good job of taking an inconsistent quarterback and putting him in situations where he can keep the ball and play to his strengths. I think we definitely saw that against Oklahoma, and I think we saw that again last week. So Adrian Martinez is kind of a different player, but he's playing a different way. Like, I think the Kansas State staff has really done a good job of kind of putting him in that position. I hate to pick somebody going to Ames to win a football game. That's a weird place and strange things happen. But I think I'm going to take Kansas State. I think they're a good team. Deuce Vaughn's one of the best running backs in the country. And if Adrian Martinez can continue kind of, you know, with his, you know, keeping the ball safe, getting yards when he can, I think Kansas State wins this one. And give me 7 confidence points.
All right. Kinger, you got some Kansas State friends, but your lady's Iowa State. Where are you rolling in this game?
Yeah, this is a big one for me here. I'm looking forward to the Saturday night game here. This will definitely be on TV1 here in the household. But my first notes, what Blinken just said, is Adrian Martinez good? And I think the answer is yes in this system. But we've seen that when he takes care of the football and he's been put in this system that allows him to maximize his strengths and his versatility, it has been incredibly impressive to watch what he has done these last few weeks. Now, this is a different animal that he's facing this week in Ames, right? We know how good this Iowa State defense is. They're a top 10 national unit, top 10 against the rush, top 20 against the pass. I don't think we're going to see those same big numbers from Martinez in that Kansas State offense this week. Iowa State coming off a rough loss at Kansas, in which we already talked about, not quite sure how they lost that game last week. They've already lost a home Big 12 game to Baylor. Them losing back-to-back games in Ames, that's a tough thing to pick against. But that being said, I'm taking the Wildcats. They're my Big 12 sleeper this year. I like what I've seen. I think that defense for Kansas State is playing a little bit better, is better than what the statistics have shown. They're kind of middle of the pack, Big 12 in a lot of cases this year. I think they're still a top 4, top 5 unit in that Big 12. They've lost 2 in a row to Iowa State now. This one is absolutely one that I can guarantee you they've had circled after that thrashing last year at home. But give me the Wildcats. Give them to me for 2 confidence points.
All right, so you're both on Kansas State in this game. I don't know if Adrian Martinez is good either, guys. He's certainly, Blinken, as you said, doing enough to get the job done up there in Manhattan. I like to pride myself on being a big college football fan. Like, there are very few people out there who I'm like, they're a bigger college football fan than I am. Like, I put myself right up there with anybody, you guys included, our listeners included. I really like to pride myself on just the national knowledge, just a scope of knowledge about college football. I will tell you guys, I did not realize the magnitude of the hatred and Farmageddon here until earlier this year.
Hate them. Yeah. They hate one another,
so,
Kelly.
I know. So I'm out there, I'm posting stuff about the Big 12 on Twitter during the summer or coming into the beginning of the year. And I posted something good about Kansas State, then I posted something good about Iowa State, and then I posted something kind of about both of them together, and it just blew up. And I'm like, what just happened? Farmageddon is real. This hate is real. This is right up there with these fan bases. This is right up there with Texas, Oklahoma. This is right up there with, I mean, this is big time hate for these two programs and these two fan bases, which I did not fully realize. That's on me. I now know. I'm excited for this game. Absolutely going to be tuned into it for the duration. I see this as being a very close game, guys. I've got Kansas State number 23 in the country, Iowa State number 33. But the game is in Ames, as we said. Crazy things, scary things happen in Ames. I'm leaning Kansas State in this game. I'm going to go with you guys. My numbers like them by 0.5. So again, this is another toss-up. This is the third game already we've talked about where I've got a 50 or 51% win probability for the expected winner. Kansas State, 51% win expectancy. Because we have two others that are projected to be even closer, I'm forced to go with 3 confidence points here on Kansas State when I don't even like them to win by a full point. So this week's just crazy tough. Give me Kansas State. And for only the second time of the pick'em here, we are all on the same team. To recap this one, we're all taking Kansas State. Blinken taking the Wildcats for 7. I'm on Kansas State for 3. Kinger taking Kansas State for 2. This next game, guys, I will take it first. We've got another Pac-12 game. It's Washington State going on the road to USC. King, what's Vegas think about Washington State at USC?
USC is a 13-point favorite, over under 66.
13-point favorite. My numbers like USC in this one by 15.5. USC, a team that my numbers, I said it in the summer, it was difficult to properly rate USC because of all the changes they've had. They brought in Caleb Williams. They brought in Lincoln Riley. They brought in Addison. They brought in Dye. They brought in all these fancy toys for that offense. I had concerns about the defense. I still have concerns about the defense, but not as many, and the offense has been even better than I expected. So I've got USC as the number 9 team in the country right now. They have been phenomenal to this point. They've had a ton of turnover luck. At some point, that's going to change, and they will lose multiple games this year. I am still convinced of that. Their turnover luck's been insane to this point, but they are the better team in this game. They are at home. Don't look now, but we might be getting to a point, at least in the current moment in time, where this becomes an event again in LA. Like back when Pete Carroll had USC rolling, guys, it was an event. You had to be there. Like all the celebrities, all the important people, everybody wanted to be at the Coliseum for USC games. I'm not saying we're there yet in terms of the overall stature of the program and how great those Pete Carroll teams were in the mid-2000s, but this, it's trending in a way, you know, highly ranked in the AP, looking good in power ratings, undefeated season. Watch out, because if Lincoln Riley can keep that rolling, if they keep that turnover luck going, that home field advantage might come back for USC that's been missing for G's 15 years now. Give me USC in this game. It's an 86% win probability. I'm using my 10-pointer on this one. Give me USC for 10 points. Blinken, we know you feel a certain type of way about Lincoln Riley. I'll be shocked if you take USC in this game just out of spite, but give it to us. Who you like here?
Okay, so you mentioned the turnover luck, right? I mean, 15 takeaways, one turnover, that can't sustain. Like, it can't just keep, again, I keep waiting for, like, you know, the dam to break. Or, I mean, even not even the dam to break, just not getting even two extra, possessions a game. I think at least one, maybe a couple of their games this season would have gone a different way if they hadn't have pulled in, you know, two big turnovers. So I think they're a pretty good team. And I think Washington State is really good on defense. They are a pretty good team as well. I think if this was in Pullman out in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, have you ever seen where Pullman is? I mean, it's basically Yellowstone. I mean, it's out in the middle of, like, it's basically like, it's like Idaho, Wyoming, like where Washington, Idaho, and Wyoming meet. It's like, it's got to be worse to get to than like Morgantown, right?
It's a hike.
It, like, if this was in Pullman, I'd go Washington State all the way, but I'm going to take USC for 5 wow. confidence points.
I thought for sure you'd go against them just because. I thought you'd throw 2 on Washington State or something. But all right, Blinken.
It makes my skin crawl. And, you know, hopefully I can just, you know, say that maybe they'll lose just to spite me and my points, right? So I'm going to pick them and, you know, hope I'm wrong.
You're a win-win either way. Either you get the points or you see Lincoln Riley lose, it's a win-win. Yeah. Kinger, what about you in this one? You with us on USC?
I'm with you. Not a lot to add here. Washington State, they do have a good defense, and they've been feisty so far this season. Took care of Cal, really, really dominated that game again last week. I think their front 7 is really good. Still a little bit questionable. I'm not quite sure on that secondary. They've given up some big plays this year, and I think that this matches up well for Caleb Williams and that USC offense. I think this receiving core, them being at home, I expect Williams to have another big game this week. I also do not trust Cam Ward. He's a good quarterback. I mean, he's a stable quarterback for what Washington State is trying to do on the offensive side, but he's way too turnover prone. 2 interceptions, 3 of his last 4 weeks, another interception that 4th week. You guys talk about how this can't continue for USC. Well, I think it very well could continue this week when you got Cam Ward throwing the football. So I got USC at home, and I got him for 10 confidence points as well.
All right, so to recap this one, we are all on USC. Kinger and I using our 10 spots here. Blinken taking the Trojans for 5. King, let's start with you on the next one here. We've got BYU and Notre Dame. This is a neutral site game. They're playing in Las Vegas. I talked earlier about how I like Texas-Oklahoma neutral site. Spoiler alert, I don't like this game, neutral site, at all. Kinger, what's Vegas think about BYU-Notre Dame in Vegas? And then let's hear what you have to say first.
Okay, well, I'm just learning right now that this game is in Vegas because I thought that this was in South Bend, to be honest. So it makes me feel a little bit better about my pick now, to be honest. So Notre Dame's a 3.5-point favorite. Over-under is 51.5. BYU started this year strong, but they've struggled a little bit these last few weeks. Utah State and Wyoming, both teams they've kind of let hang around a little bit longer than I think most fans would have liked to this point. ND started bad, kind of opposite, but they did string together a couple wins. And Drew Pine, great game versus North Carolina a couple weeks ago. This is going to be a much tougher challenge versus this top 20 BYU defense. Notre Dame's going to want to run the ball. BYU's definitely been a little bit vulnerable in the run game. Notre Dame's gotten some better offensive line play, so I think they're going to try and definitely run the ball, maintain the tempo as much as possible. I said I think I like BYU here, and I do. I think Jaren Hall is going to find a way to get it done, and that it being even closer to home, I would not consider this a home game for Utah, but it's in the same general region. I'm taking the Cougars with the upset for 3 confidence points this week.
All right, Blinken, what about you? Notre Dame, BYU in Vegas. Who do you like?
So Notre Dame, kind of coming into the season, I think we all thought that Notre Dame was going to be strong on defense, like, you know, like usual. First few games of the season, that was not the case. We didn't know where that went. Last couple weeks, though, I think they've started to get better, especially last week, you know, against North Carolina. You know, they allowed 330 some yards of offense, but against that North Carolina squad, who's averaging 500, I think that's pretty good. And I think they're making progress and kind of riding the ship defensively. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. Give me Notre Dame for 4 confidence points.
All right, so I got to break the tie here. My numbers are what they are on Notre Dame. They see results of games, right, because the factors that go into playing a game, but they don't see the final score. They don't see the win-loss record. So my numbers don't know Notre Dame is 2-2. They think they probably played better than being 2-2. One of those losses to Ohio State in the season opener in a game where they had the lead late in the third quarter. Again, predicted numbers aren't all about the scoreboard. They're actually not about the scoreboard at all. But my numbers still like Notre Dame. They're up to number 19 this week in my power ratings. Haven't played in a couple weeks, so coming off some extra rest before this flight out to Las Vegas. I've got BYU at number 40. So at a neutral site, that gives it away right there. Notre Dame's the better rated team, and it's neutral site. Give me Notre Dame in this game. I like them by 5.5, so I expect them to cover that spread of 3.5. It's a 66% win probability for the Fighting Irish, so I like Notre Dame for 7 confidence points in this game. So to recap, Blinken and I, both with the Irish, I'm taking them for 7, Blinken for 4. Kinger going BYU, and he's taking the Cougars for 3. Our final game, guys, is in the ACC. 2 teams who need a win, need a bounce back after this past week. We've got Florida State going on the road to NC State. Kinger, I'll take this one first. What's Vegas think?
NC State -3.5, over under 52.5.
My numbers very closely aligned with Vegas on this one. I do think NC State is the better team here. I've got them number 22 in the country. They are at home. Florida State number 27. I like NC State in this one by 4.5 points. I think they get the bounce back win here. It'll be 2 straight losses for Florida State. I'm not concerned that team's going to go off the rails. I think they overachieved. Overachieved their expectations here early, especially with that win against LSU the opening week. So I'm not concerned that the season's going to get sideways for Florida State, but I do expect them to drop this game. 63% win probability for the Wolfpack. Give me NC State, and I'm taking them for 6 confidence points. Kinger?
Yeah, NC State, I had a feeling that Florida State was going to lose to Wake Forest last week. Called that upset, and I think NC State's going to be a little bit heated this week after that loss to Clemson. I don't think the Wolfpack really did play badly. They lost the turnover game, but I think NC State played a game pretty much on par with what we thought they would. I knew we thought they could hang. I bet most people thought they could hang with Clemson. Devin Leary, though, still not had a kind of that breakout game that we talked about, and I'm waiting to see that big game from him. I think that this could be it this week. Florida State been very vulnerable giving up big plays this year. This is going to be a tough road test. I don't trust Mike Norvell. I really don't. I think the saving grace for Florida State is going to be that seminal offensive line. They've been very good this year, leading the ACC or second in the AC with sacks given. NC State has not been great at getting pressure. I think Florida State will move the ball a little bit here, but I think the NC State does have the dudes in the secondary. I still think that their pass defense is going to be too much here. They're going to be hungry for a bounce back win at home. So give me NC State with 8 confidence points.
Lincoln?
Yeah, I think it's battle of who can, you know, get back on track. And I think that in itself, I give the nod to the home team. But especially, I think this NC State team, stout defense. Like you said, Devin Leary hasn't exactly, he's been pretty good, not great. Line you said was 3.5, right?
Correct.
The line average on Prediction Tracker likes this at 6.5 NC State. And so I'm going to go with the models, here, and I'm going to pick NC State. And this is where I'm going to use my tenor. My 10 confidence points, NC State over Florida.
All right, Blinken ending strong. So to recap this one, we are all on NC State. Blinken for 10, Kinger for 8. I am on the Wolfpack for 6. So that wraps up the picks portion, guys. We will see who comes out on top this week. Going to be a very interesting slate of games. But before we get out of here, we always have to talk about best bets. So Kinger, what do you have on tap? And Blinken, after King goes here, please feel free to share any best bets you might have, if any. We definitely want to hear your thoughts as well on some plays this week. Kinger?
So we're recording on Monday, so we're a little bit earlier than the week than we normally do. And I normally do like to lock in my bets Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest. So I've only got four plays right now. And so this card is definitely going to expand heading into the weekend, but there are 4 that I really like off the bat. I'm going to take number 1. Auburn's a 29.5 point dog at Georgia this week. I think you got to take the Tigers in this game. I mean, I think Georgia's going to be feisty. They're going to be hungry. But 30 points is a lot of points in an SEC game. And that Auburn front 7 is still very good. I'm not very high on what they can do on the offensive side of the ball, but I think Auburn has enough, especially with how kind of Stetson Bennett and that offense stalled last week. I think they got enough to keep this within 24, 27 points. So if you're going to give me 30, give me the Tigers with 30 to start.
My numbers are with you on that one, Kinger. I had to double check it. I like Georgia by 20.5. So I think there's some significant value there. Expecting Georgia to bounce back and be fired up. I'm sure Kirby's got their ear.
Definitely. Definitely.
And Auburn's kind of a hot mess a little bit. But yes, my numbers agree with you on this one.
Ideal case scenario would be Georgia jump up to a 21-0 lead and then hopefully kind of call the dogs back a little bit, let Auburn score some garbage points, touchdowns, right? So the other game, I'm going to stick in the SEC. I like Arkansas getting 8 at Mississippi State this week. That was a big win. That was kind of an important win for Mississippi State last weekend. Those were kind of the games that you'd say in the past, Mike Leach, occasionally they'd come out and throw a dumpy performance out there. So that was emotional. Arkansas, a tough loss to Bama last week. I think that's a one-score football game. So especially with that, getting that eighth point, I like the Hogs this week on the road.
My number's going to shade against you there, King. I like Mississippi State by 8.5. So very, very close, but I'd shade against that one.
Very close. Okay, next one. UAB, underwhelming team thus far this season. They were my pick to win Conference USA, 2-2 sitting here. I have the over 8.5 wins. That's not looking likely right now. They're going to absolutely need to take care of business this week. They are laying 9 points at home versus Middle Tennessee, who I still don't think is very good. I think the Blazers find a way to get it done this week.
Last game, King, I'll shade with you here. I like UAB by 9.5.
Okay, and then the last one that I got right now in place. This is a 5-0 team against the spread this year versus a 4-0 team against the spread this year. Kelly, give me James Madison. They're going to Arkansas State, laying 9 points. I don't think Arkansas State's that good. They've found ways to cover the game, but overall, I still don't think they're a very good program. James Madison's been overly impressive. I think that's going to be a 13-14 point game. I like that by 2 touchdowns there for James Madison. So that's who I'm rolling with my 4 to start.
James Madison, I said Kansas is the story of the season. James Madison might be a close second.
They very well could be.
They are number 16 in my most deserving rankings. Just an incredible year for them. Their first year at FBS. Kinger, I'm going against you here. I like James Madison in the game, but I only like him by 7.5 points. Blinken, you had anything that have from a betting standpoint? Any lines that stick out to you here this week?
I've got a couple in the Big Ten. You know, you were talking about Georgia and Auburn and the big spread there. I think right now, as far as I can see, Ohio State's favored over Michigan State by 25.5. I think that might be a little steep for what is maybe a second tier rivalry game in East Lansing. I think that's going to be a little steep, and I would like Michigan State to probably cover that 25.5.
My numbers agree with you, Blinken. They like the Buckeyes by 21.5. This is the first road game for Ohio State this season, guys. This is week six. They have not left the Shoe yet, so it'll be interesting to see how they deal with that.
How the hell does that happen?
I knew Kinger would want to say something about that. Okay, here's how it happens, King. You play 3 non-conference games. For a program like Ohio State, you're usually getting those at home, although they do have some home set up, but it just so happened this year they're at home in their big one against Notre Dame. Next year they'll be on the road in that one. And then they play 2 conference games, both of them at home. You play two home, two away, kind of in stretches like that a lot of times in conference. So first time they're going on the road.
I don't like that one bit, Kelly.
Auburn's first game on the road this weekend as well. And they've got quite the tall task going to between the hedges there to play Georgia. But sorry, Blinken, got off on a tangent. I knew it would get Kinger going. But yeah, King, Ohio State, first road trip. So welcome to the season, Buckeyes. Blinken, what's next for you?
So the second one is Nebraska Cornhuskers taking a 1,300 mile trip to Piscataway and Rutgers. Right now, I think Nebraska is favored by 3. I would take Rutgers to win this game outright. So, give me Rutgers to cover against Nebraska in a one I'm sure
I like that Rutgers bet a lot.
One I'm sure the entire nation will be watching.
Kinger, you might want to throw some money down on this one, Blinken. I am right there with you. I hadn't seen the spreads. I don't really look at the spreads. I look at afterwards. I look to see what my absolute error is in the games, but I don't really look pregame too much. I've got Rutgers in this game favored by a point. So, Kinger, Blinken's saying take a money line. I'm saying take a money line. Might be worth taking a look at there, King.
Absolutely. I mean, I follow my guests, or our guests here, right? They got some good picks to play. I'll play them too. And that's one I like. You said it right off the bat. Absolutely. I for sure see some value there.
Anything else worth blinking? Or those your two ones? You're going Big Ten heavy.
That's what sticks out to me, man. That's just going through just the, you know, what the spreads were, or at least what they were at, you know, this afternoon when I pulled this, kind of looking at different models and stuff. But I think most of my averages are right with you on, you know, some of those predictive spreads. So those just stuck out to me like just a little heavy. And like I said, Rutgers, I would pick probably straight up. So
I love it, Blinken. That is awesome. Thank you again so much for joining us. Remind everybody one more time, Blinken, before we get out of here, where can they find you on Twitter, your podcast, your website, Big Oklahoma Guy? Just give everybody the quick rundown again. Where can they check you out?
Yeah. Big Oklahoma stuff. If you know, it's going to be Oklahoma heavy, at Blinken Riley on Twitter. Statistically Speaking podcast. You can find it on wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple, you know, all of them. And you know, if you are so inclined and you want a win probability mug, check out BlinkenRiley.com and get some merch.
That is awesome. Well, thank you again, Blinken. We really appreciate it. Thank you to everyone listening. We appreciate you. This has been the We Hate Your Team podcast with Kay Ford and Kinger. Enjoy week 6 of the 2022 college football season.